I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. What do you get when you cross the pulp magazine hero Doc Savage with the pulp magazine hero The Shadow? You get pulp magazine hero The Avenger, who had his own magazine from 1939 to 1942. Author Paul Ernst wrote the scripts under the pen name Kenneth Robeson. Now, it gets confusing because Kenneth Robeson was the pen name assigned to many different authors by Street & Smith Publications. At least 11 different writers used that name, including popular science fiction authors Ron Goulart and Philip Jose Farmer. Walter Gibson, who wrote over 200 Shadow novels, was assigned to give basic script ideas to Avenger author Paul Ernst, and author Lester Dent was assigned to help Ernst with the characterization of the Avenger. In 1941 and 1942, and then again in 1945 and 1946, The Avenger was a radio series. This episode, Keys of the City, was first broadcast on September 21, 1945.
The Avenger.
The road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
The Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, the Avenger and the keys to the city.
Mayor Grimshaw.
Yes? What is it, Lloyd?
There are a few details I'd like to clear up with you before I leave. Can you spare me a minute now?
Of course, Lloyd.
Well, here, this is a daily schedule I made for you, covering all your appointments while I'm on vacation.
Fine, Lloyd, fine. Frankly, I don't know how I'm going to get along without you for 2 weeks.
Well, if you'd rather I didn't go, Mayor Grimshaw.
No, you've earned the rest, Lloyd. I want you to take it.
That's too bad that you can't come along, Mayor. After that bitter political campaign you've just been through, you probably need a vacation more than I do.
If I went away for a rest, my enemies would probably maneuver me out of office before I got back.
They certainly don't let up on you for a minute, do they?
No. That young district attorney, Michael Zane, is a fighter. He'll never forgive me for being elected.
Well, Zane and the ex-mayor were great pals. They worked hand in glove and everything. So, naturally, Zane wanted to see him reelected.
How long have you been weathering the political storms here at City Hall, Lloyd?
Oh, 15 years, Mayor Grimshaw.
15 years? Remind me to give you a medal when you get back. Now, let me see. What's on today's schedule?
Oh, plenty. Your new cultural movement gets underway today.
Oh, that.
At noon, you give the keys to the city to Roscoe Marbury, the explorer and lecturer.
Oh, yes. Well, the voters can't say that I'm not living up to my campaign promises. I promised them culturing, and I'm delivering it promptly.
Keys are in the top drawer of your desk, and here's the speech that goes with them.
Thank you, Lloyd. Now, you better run along, or you'll miss your train. Good fishing. And bring me back one of those famous Oakview trout. And so, Mr. Marbury, it is with great pleasure that I present to you the keys to our city. Even though they are but token keys, they will unlock the hearts and minds of our good citizens. I feel confident that you will find our city a most fertile field for the great cultural growth to which your whole life has been dedicated.
Thank you, Your Honor. I accept these keys with great pride, because I know they represent the great esteem with which your citizens regard a humble spokesman of the arts. I will begin my series of lectures this afternoon. I hope I may look forward to seeing all of you then. Thank you very much.
Gosh, Jim, that Roscoe Marbury is certainly a fascinating person.
Yes, he is. His first lecture was a great success, Fern. He held that audience spellbound from 2 o'clock to 4.
Well, he made me want to visit all those glamorous places he told about. It must be wonderful to travel all the time.
Well, it's not as wonderful as it sounds. Now, young lady, how about getting back to those reports we were working on before we went to the lecture, huh?
Right, Jim. I'll get my book.
Oh, I'll take it, Fern. Hello?
Jim, where the blazes have you been? I've been trying to get you since 3 o'clock.
Oh, I was at a lecture. What's the trouble, Inspector?
Well, there's been an explosion down here at the public library.
An explosion in the library?
Yes, some valuable books have been stolen. Get down here as fast as you can, Jim.
Well, here you are, Jim. This is the first edition room where the explosion occurred here.
Couldn't have been much of an explosion, Inspector. Everything seems to be intact.
Well, the door was blown open, Jim, that's all.
Now, let me get this straight, Inspector. Your theory is that someone blew the lock on that door, entered this room, selected the 5 most valuable books from the shelves, and made his getaway down that back stairway at the end of the hall, huh?
Yeah, that's it, Jim.
Who had access to this room?
Only the custodian. No one else is ever permitted inside this room. He's personally responsible for all these books.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, let's have a look at the door.
All right.
Looks as if a small bomb or grenade was placed either on the doorknob or inside that lock.
Yeah, that's the way I figured it, Jim.
Since the library was open at the time the explosion occurred, some of the librarians from downstairs must have come up here immediately upon hearing the sound.
Yes, 3 of them came on the run, but the thief was gone by that time.
All of which would seem to add up to one conclusion.
Well, I'm glad you agree with me on that, Jim. I think the custodian is guilty.
It would seem so, because if access to this room was gained by blowing open that door, only the man who knew where those books were placed on the shelves could find them and make his escape within the single minute that elapsed before the 3 librarians arrived on the scene.
Oh, that's how I reason it out. I think the custodian blasted this lock merely as a cover-up to make it look like a common robbery.
The time element completely rules out the possibility of an outside job. Only a person who had access to this room could have stolen those books.
Right. Now, even though this evidence is all negative, Jim, it's enough to make an arrest. Come on, let's find that custodian.
Gosh, Jim, I'd almost given you up. Marbury's already begun his lecture in the adjoining gallery.
Why didn't you go in, Vern? I got held up at headquarters.
Oh, hasn't that custodian confessed yet?
No, and strangely enough, I'm beginning to doubt his guilt. However, since he can't furnish an alibi, we'll have to hold him for the time being. Well, shall we go in?
We'd better, if we want to maintain our social position. Everybody who is anybody is in there, the mayor, district attorney...
Come on, Vern.
Of course, with this great artist, technique
there
remains...
There are 2 seats near the back, Fern.
...only a means to an end. Now, he is a great artist, not because of his ingenuity and disrespect for conventions, but rather because of the magnificent spiritual fire that makes his expression candent. Note the richness and depth of color in those portraits and figure compositions hanging there to your left. Now, these could never be called mere technical achievements of high order. They're neither stylized nor dated, and they never can be. The relentless hand of time can never touch them.
What's that?
Keep your seats. Keep your seats, please, everybody. Please keep your seats. Mr. Marbury, please continue with your lecture. I'm sure there is no need for alarm. I will inform the police immediately, and this matter will be investigated.
Come on, Fern.
Anyone injured in this explosion, Jim?
No, Inspector. It parallels that library explosion exactly.
Yeah. The lock on this vault was blown just like the other.
That's right.
What's missing, Jim?
Now, you'd better hold onto your hat, Inspector. Dr. Harbaugh, the curator, reports that 3 priceless paintings are gone. He's preparing a full description of them now.
Well, Jim, this second robbery proves we're up against a professional thief. Yeah, we made a big mistake about that library custodian.
Well, one thing is certain anyway. He didn't pull this job.
Any ideas, Jim?
Yes. This vault door was blown from the inside out. That definitely establishes the fact that the explosion is a cover-up and doesn't occur until after the criminal gets away. Now, this steel door tells a much straighter story than that wooden one in the library.
Yeah.
I'll take that lock down to my laboratory and give it a good going over.
Looks like we're in for some trouble, Jim. Here comes the mayor.
Look here, Inspector. These bombings in public buildings are beginning to look mighty suspicious.
Well, I agree with you, Mayor Grenshaw. If you got any ideas, it might help solve them.
That's your department. But offhand, I'd say these thefts are being committed deliberately to embarrass my administration and everything it stands for.
Well, that's carrying politics pretty far, Your Honor.
I don't think there's any limit to what the opposition will do to get me out of office. District Attorney Zane threatened he'd do it.
Take it easy, Mayor Grenshaw.
I won't take it easy. And you'd better not either if you want to keep your job. I'm giving you 48 hours to crack this case and deliver the criminal. And the bigger he is, the better I like it.
Inspector White speaking.
Inspector, this is District Attorney Zane.
Oh, yes, Mr. Zane.
I hear Mayor Grenshaw's riding you pretty hard on these robberies.
Yes, that's right. I don't mind admitting I'm up to a blind alley on both of them.
I understand. I want to help. If you like, I'll send several men from my office over to work with you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Zane, but right now I'm afraid I have nothing for them to do. If any leads develop, I'll certainly let you know.
Do that, Inspector. This is a nasty business. It's up to us to clean it up. The mayor's proved he's utterly incompetent. Goodbye.
According to the directions they gave us at the hotel in Oakview, Jim, we turn left at the next fork in the road, and the boathouse is a little beyond that.
Well, I certainly hope we find Cyrus Lloyd fishing out here, as they said, Fern. Otherwise, we've wasted some very precious time.
Jim, I simply can't understand why you're so eager to have a talk with Lloyd.
Neither could the mayor. He flatly refused to tell me where Lloyd was. I finally got the information through one of his clerks.
But Lloyd couldn't have had anything to do with those robberies in the city, Jim. According to the hotel manager up here, he's never been away from the hotel for more than 3 hours at a time since he arrived in Oakview.
Lloyd is on the inside of things at City Hall, Fern. If these robberies are in any way connected with a political feud, I believe he's the man who can tip us off.
You think that's the motive behind these robberies, then?
Oh, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm on the track of something that Lloyd may be able to explain. If he can, then this trip is really a shortcut to the solution of this case. You see, Fern, I picked up a minute but interesting piece of evidence when I examined that lock from the museum vault. Oh, there's the boathouse just ahead.
Oh, and that lone fisherman at the end of the dock must be Lloyd.
It is. Come on, Fern. Hello there. Catching anything?
Oh, no, it's you, Mr. Brandon. What are you doing up here?
Well, I'm after some information about those bombings and thefts, Lloyd.
Information? For me? Why, I've been up here in Oakview for 2 days.
Oh, I know that, but I thought you might be able to tell me who's trying to frame whom in City Hall.
Why, what do you mean by that, Brandon? If you're trying to insinuate that the mayor had anything to do with...
My back! Help!
Jim, catch him! He's falling off the dock!
I'll go in after him.
He's over there, Jim.
I see him.
Hurry, he's going down. Oh, Jim, here comes the car. I'll get help. Stop, please!
What's the matter, miss?
Oh, come over here quickly. Someone's in the water. We need help.
All right, just a minute. I've got some rope here in the car.
Hurry, Ranger.
Come on. Where'd he fall?
Oh, out here at the end of the dock. Jim, are you all right?
Yes, I've got him.
All right, here's a rope. Grab on to it and I'll pull you in.
Okay.
Let me help you with the rope, Ranger.
We'll pull him in alongside of the dock here. Water's shallow there.
Yeah.
Pull hard now.
I am.
All right. There. All right, does it? Now they're safe. Let's go down and help them in. Hey, one of those. Oh, they're in bad shape.
Jim, is Lloyd all right?
I'm afraid not, Fern.
All right, here. Let me give you a hand with him. We'll put him here down the bank. Give him artificial respiration.
I think he's dead, Ranger. He was shot in the back before he fell into the water.
What?
That's right. We were standing here talking to him when somebody shot him.
He's dead, all right. Bullet wound in the left shoulder. Well, come along, stranger. I have to deliver you to the sheriff in Oakview.
Oh, just a minute. We had nothing to do with this man's death. I'm Jim Brandon. I'm connected with the police department. Here are my credentials.
I don't care who you are. You're coming with me.
Listen, Ranger, let's not waste time arguing. There's a murderer on the loose around here someplace.
That's right. Come on, before I get tough about it.
Fern, drive back to the hotel and call Inspector White.
All right, you don't. This young lady's coming along, too. You're both under arrest on suspicion of murder.
Jim, I'm getting worried. Do you suppose the inspector will come up to get us out of here? I'd hate to have to spend the night in this jail.
Now, don't worry, Fern. The inspector ought to be here any minute now. It's nearly 4 hours since we called him.
Do you think there's a possibility that he's cracked this case himself and is letting us sweat it out up here in the Oakville jail?
Now, Fern, don't start imagining things. The inspector's too smart to play a joke that would backfire on him in the future.
Oh, if only that stubborn sheriff would listen to reason.
Ah, here's the inspector now.
Oh, thank heaven.
Well, Jim, a fine mess you got yourself into up here.
Now, never mind that now. Did you straighten things out so we can go?
Sheriff gave me the key to let you out.
Oh, I thought you'd never get here, Inspector.
Well, first I tried to get District Attorney Zane to call the sheriff up here and iron things out, but he refused to get involved. Acted like he was glad to get rid of you, Jim.
No doubt. Come on, Inspector. That murder trail is getting colder by the minute. That's right, Inspector. Lloyd was standing there where you are when he got that shot in the back.
Well, then the shot must have come from across the lake, Jim.
Yes, and that means the range was 1,000 yards.
Well, I'll be...
Only a crack shot with a telescopic lens on his gun could make an accurate shot at that distance.
Well, that ought to narrow down our list of suspects. Tell me, Jim, who knew that you were coming up here to question Lloyd?
Well, Inspector, it was no secret. The mayor and practically his whole office staff knew it.
Which includes a few of the D.A. stooges, if you want to put any stock in rumor.
That's right. Oh, by the way, Fern, when you called Mr. Marbury to cancel our luncheon engagement, did you mention where we were going?
I'm not sure, Jim. I think I did, though.
In other words, Jim, anyone even slightly interested in your activities could have found out that you were coming up here.
I'm afraid so, but that's not what's worrying me now. Inspector, do you realize that we've only about 20 hours left to track down our criminal? Otherwise, this case will wind up your career as a police inspector.
Come in, Brandon. Miss Collier. Sit down, please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That was a terrible thing that happened to Lloyd. I'll miss him badly.
Mayor Grenshaw, may I come straight to the point? I want to ask you a few questions.
Of course. Fire away, Brandon.
How long have you known Cyrus Lloyd?
Just since I took office. He was a party secretary here at City Hall. But I'd never met him until I was elected mayor.
Did Lloyd have access to the city keys?
Yes, I suppose so. The keys are kept in a small safe right over there. I suppose he knew the combination.
May I see the keys, Mayor Grenshaw?
Well, that's an unusual request, Brandon.
I understand your reticence, Mayor, but I'd like to have a look at them. You can call it a request from the police department.
Well, all right. I'll get them.
The mayor doesn't seem to trust you, Jim.
He makes that rather evident, doesn't he?
Well, frankly, I don't trust him either.
Quiet. Here he comes.
Here are the keys, Brandon.
Oh, thank you. I see they're all labeled.
Oh, yes.
This one is for the library. This, the museum. One for the municipal center. The citizens' swimming pool. And this last one for the city hall vault.
Excuse me. Yes, Miss Kirby? Who? Oh. All right. Send him in. It's Marbury.
Marbury?
Have you finished with the keys, Brandon?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Put them right back in the safe. If anything should happen to these keys, I really would be in trouble.
What's all this about the keys, Jim?
I'll tell you later, Fern.
Well, glad to see you, Marbury.
Good evening, Your Honor. Collier, Mr. Brandon.
Good evening, Marbury.
I can only stay a moment, Mayor Grenshaw. I'm on my way to the lecture.
The last one of the series, isn't it?
Yes, I'll be leaving tomorrow. I'm really sorry you've made me most welcome here. But the purpose of this visit is to ask you a favor.
Of course.
Well, I seem to have misplaced the keys to the city you gave me when I arrived. Either that or they've been stolen.
Don't worry about that, Marbury. Those keys were only cardboard, covered with gilded tin. Nobody would steal them.
Well, that's what District Attorney Zane told me.
Zane?
Yes, he was visiting me at my hotel when I discovered they were missing.
Well, think nothing of it.
Well, in that case, I wonder if you'd give me another set, just to keep as a souvenir.
Well, certainly. We've dozens of them. I'll have another set brought in right away.
Jim, I can't understand why you wouldn't attend Marbury's lecture tonight. The subject was no tigers in Africa, and I thought...
Well, Fern, we had more important work to do.
What? Just standing here on the street corner waiting for the district attorney to go into his house?
That's right. I think we've given him time to retire now. You wait for me here, Fern. This shouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
What are you going to do, Jim?
Turn the tables on the DA. I'm going to fire some questions at him as the Avenger.
Me.
Wake up, Zane.
Who's there? Who woke me?
Truth is on the march, Zane. Where did you get the keys to the city I found there in your pocket?
The keys to the city?
Yes, Zane. The keys that open the door at the library and the vault at the museum.
What sort of frame
but
of...
Where's the fifth key, Zane? The key to the vault at City Hall. Where is that?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no city keys. Who dares accuse me of those crimes? I'll turn on this light and you can accuse me to my face. There. Now what? Where are you? Who spoke to me? What? There's no one here. I must have been having a nightmare. Oh, I guess I need a rest. My nerves are shot. Keys to the city. Some dream.
Well, Jim, I think you had a sour hunch this time. It's almost 2 a.m. Nobody's shown up here at City Hall to rob that vault yet.
Oh, be patient a little longer, Inspector. Fern. Why don't you go home? It's past your bedtime.
Oh, not me. I won't be able to sleep a wink until I find out who the criminal is.
Well, who are you expecting, Jim, after all?
Shh, listen. Someone's coming. Now, remember, Inspector. Wait until after he comes out of the vault and nab him. We want to find out what he's after in there.
Right.
He's inside the vault now.
Who is it, Jim?
You'll find out in a minute. Have you got your gun ready, Inspector? He's dangerous.
I'm all set for whatever comes, Jim. When he comes out, you turn on the lights and I'll cover him.
He's coming now.
Ready.
Okay, reach you and reach high or I'll shoot.
Why, it's Mr. Marbury.
And for once, he's absolutely speechless.
Okay, Marbury. Your next lecture is scheduled for the jury. Come on.
That shot fell far short of the target, Fern.
Oh, gosh, Jim. 1,000 yards is some distance, even with a telescopic lens.
Well, Marbury was a crack shot, and he'd had lots of experience hunting big game, as he so unwisely admitted in several of his lectures.
Oh, I hope I have better luck with the fishing. I promised the mayor a trout.
Oh, want me to bait your line?
Yes, please. Jim.
Oh, all right. What do you want to know, Fern?
Well, I know the first clue that led you to suspect Marbury was that small piece of gilding you discovered under the microscope when you examined that museum vault lock.
Yes, I figured that came from the keys to the city Marbury had.
But what made you think there was a connection between Marbury and Lloyd?
I wasn't sure there was a connection, Fern, until Lloyd was shot. That proved he was implicated and knew too much.
Lloyd was the one who arranged it so that Marbury was given a real set of keys?
Well, that's right. However, we didn't find the piece that was missing from the puzzle until last night when we saw the papers Marbury had stolen from the City Hall vault. They were the records of a crime he had committed 20 years ago. Lloyd had discovered that secret and bargained with Marbury. The books and paintings in exchange for the records.
Then Marbury shot Lloyd in panic for fear he might talk before he had a chance to get those records.
Right, Vern.
But how did it happen that you found the keys to the city in District Attorney Zane's pocket?
Marbury planted the keys that he no longer needed on Zane. The trail was getting hot and Marbury knew it. So he went to the mayor's office to turn suspicion on Zane until he himself had a chance to get out of town. Vern, start playing your line. The mayor's trout is biting.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
The Avenger.
From September 21, 1945, The Avenger and Keys of the City. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you'd just like to talk about old-time radio, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info, info, radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.